Please stand by. Good day, everyone, and welcome, and thank you for joining us for today's IBM teleconference, WebSphere Process Server, Realizing the Benefits of SOA on System Z. Today's teleconference will last approximately 60 minutes and will include a live question and answer session. This teleconference introduces four simple steps of BPM based on SOA, with specific emphasis on assembling and deploying business processes. You'll learn how several IBM tools can help you create a compelling roadmap to SOA with little disruption to existing IT and minimal costs and skills. The teleconference will be hosted by Klaus Steinhardt, Product Manager, WebSphere Business Integration. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to our speaker, Klaus Steinhardt. Please go ahead.
Today, we're going to discuss WebSphere Process Server to help you realize the benefits of service-oriented architectures on System Z. Many of you will be at least a little bit familiar with service-oriented architecture. It's one of the most widely discussed topics in information technology today. And today we will be discussing how to realize the benefits of service-oriented architectures on System Z and discuss ways by which your company can apply SOA to extend the value of existing assets and applications. Mainframe applications continue to be very important and drive your business. The challenge today is to extend their value and turn them into flexible applications and components to support new initiatives. So in this call, we will basically introduce the IBM SOA Foundation, focusing on the end-to-end process capabilities, explain how business process management realizes the value of SOA, and introduce the nine key IT differentiators for WebSphere process integration. We will then add what's new around business process management for SOA on System Z, specifically focusing on WebSphere Process Server and the Enterprise Service Bus for COS, and the tools that are needed to support the entire SOA lifecycle for business process management. And we'll close with the unique advantages of deploying the software on System Z versus any other platform and the summary. So starting on page 3, SOA, of course, is a new architecture focusing on flexibility. Now, the desire to make IT more flexible is not new, but the technology and the architecture to support that is. So SOA actually builds flexibility on your current investments. It allows you to reuse existing assets. Traditionally, you may have used a messaging backbone for a while for point-to-point connections between applications. And then over time, many customers in the industry have introduced EAI with a hub to connect many applications, and the hub may have been a message broker, the hub may have been a workflow or process management system in its early stage, it may have been integration middleware in general. And in the industry, we have now standardized all of that and evolved it to a service-oriented integration to standardize the ways by which you can integrate and choreograph services through an enterprise service bus into business processes and composite applications, leveraging flexible connections with well-defined and standards-based interfaces. And as these usage patterns for integration middleware have evolved, so has IBM, of course, introducing new products in support of the latest architectures and standards. So SOA is being talked about for a while. Why is it so important these days? Now, there are a couple of key drivers, of course, like globalization, like new standards and technology, which have been put in place and are now receiving very broad industry support, the availability of best practices and experience with governance makes this more widely acceptable, and the latest incarnations of the necessary software are now also available. Most importantly, companies want change at the speed of business. And change requires a business-centric view of IT, which is exactly what SOA is all about. So if you look at page 5, then you see how SOA is positioned on the IT side to enable your IT infrastructure to become more flexible, more standardized for the integration purposes, and throughout the development, deployment, and management elements of the infrastructure. And that flexibility supports flexible business and initiatives for business transformation, for business process outsourcing, or needs for mergers and acquisitions, or also needs to diversify your portfolio so that you can combine processes with services to create composite applications that support a business process. For service-oriented architecture, we of course also have a reference architecture on slide 6, which you have probably seen. The key thing is that this service-oriented architecture allows you to create a set of related and integrated services that support a business process, which is our definition actually of a composite application. And she's doing it in a way that helps you build solutions efficiently, helps you reuse existing assets, and enables you to flexibility and change. Now, a composite application may certainly need some interaction services with a portal or some more traditionally browser-based interface. It does need process services to choreograph or orchestrate your business process. It talks through an enterprise service bus to facilitate communication between services and link in, for example, backend services to access your databases. That's the information services box, to bring in your partner services for B2B communication, to bring in your business application services for your own homegrown service components, and to provide access to other services and existing assets in the IT infrastructure. All of that, of course, based on a common infrastructure with an integrated set of development tools, with modeling and monitoring tools for business innovation and optimization, and supported by IT service management solutions, for example, from Tivoli. So moving on to page 7, so SOA actually helps you build composite applications to support business processes, and it helps you improve how you design, manage, and optimize your business processes. So customers typically think about SOA in terms of a life cycle for business process management, where you start with modeling, where you capture, simulate, analyze, and optimize your business process models to reduce risk and increase flexibility. Then you hand that business model over to IT to assemble the necessary services, existing and new assets, and deploy a composite solution to a runtime, which helps you automate your operational process. That's where you execute the process, that's where you integrate with people, that's where you integrate with information from backend systems, and that's where you trigger information for monitoring and management. So in parallel, you can have executive dashboards, which provide you with real-time visibility and analysis of the business information from the deploy step. And all of that, of course, needs to be surrounded by governance and processes to align business and IT. This is all about SOA, Centers of Excellence, best practices, educations, also repositories, and the processes you put in place to support service-oriented integration. Now, what is actually a business process? A business process is a coordinated chain of activities which produce a business result. They typically consist of a mixture of human activities and business system activities into a process. It defines how the business runs at an operational level, which means you want to execute that process so that the actions are the same as what you actually designed. Problem is today often that processes may be hidden or embedded in the organization and culture of a company, embedded in the business systems of a company. They are often poorly understood, but what you want to do is actually you want to manage them explicitly and integrate it with the services and applications throughout the enterprise. Business process management, on page side, is today recognized as a differentiating business capability. It allows you to design, understand, automate, and manage operational business processes. And it consists of three compounding layers of value. The first one is modeling. The second one is automation, which is all about the deploy. And then the business process monitoring. It actually enables the collaboration between line of business and IT with business tools for the business analysts and technology tools for the integration developer, which go hand in hand and which are highly integrated. On page 10, you now see the key products in our portfolio that support this SOA lifecycle for business process management. And In last autumn, we introduced the business modeler, the business monitor, the integration developer, and also the process server and ESB for distributed. This month, we have introduced the process server and ESB for COS products, which are components on the deploy stage of the lifecycle. And we're going to focus in the remainder of the session primarily on the process server piece for COS. Together, these products provide the IBM SOA foundation, which we now introduce on COS, as an integrated open set of software with best practices and patterns to support it. Software skills and support that help you leverage existing IT infrastructures so you can integrate with your back-end KICS and IMS and DB2 transactions, as well as services typically available on distributed systems from Oracle, SAP, BA, Microsoft, Computer Associates, or whatsoever. So it's really the SOA foundation middleware for process automation, supporting the complete lifecycle with a very modular approach, providing a very scalable solution that allows you to start on small boxes and move up to large boxes, allows you to start with small processes or small solutions and grow to larger solutions as fast as your business requires it, extending the value of your existing investments, regardless of whether you have assets from IBM or from business partners or other vendors, and making extensive use of business and IT standards to facilitate greater interoperability and portability. On page 12, we give you a list of the 9 key IT differentiators of what we are doing. I will not go into the details of all of these 9. I just want to list them to you. And in the proceeding charts, you will see references to these points. The combination of these are what makes us different from many others, especially from an IT perspective, and supporting business process management initiatives. Let us first start now on page 13 with the introduction of WebSphere Process Server for COS, which provides rich process integration capabilities, supporting all aspects of process automation with a single process server and integrated tooling. It helps you understand and change operational processes quickly, rapidly change process behavior, so that you can build processes without knowing exactly where the information is coming from later, so that you can change business rules to modify the process dynamically. It has an ESB integrated for message transformation, providing a flexible connectivity infrastructure for web services and Java messaging, supported by adapters, which provide the service on-ramp for existing applications. And it supports the notion of service components and business objects to simplify and accelerate the way by which you build your composite solutions and providing flexibility and reuse. But there are two key things among all of these bullets about process server. One, on page 14, is it is a single process server, so a unified platform to facilitate composite applications. It's not that you need a combination of multiple servers. You have a single server on a single infrastructure, actually based on WebSphere application server for COS, giving you a wide range of platform support, now including COS. It gives you standards-based event management, very broad support for standards with optional extensions, very tight integration with the rest of the IBM software group portfolio, like Portal, for example, also KICS and IMS and DB2, and it gives you interoperability with existing investments. So a single process server is one of the key attributes. The other key thing to remember is, on page 15, it supports all aspects of process integration, and here you see a brief mnemonic for all the capabilities that process server actually offers. If you ever think about what it is, this is a good way of remembering it. So it's about process choreography and state machines. It's about business rules for flexible decision-making, providing support for business objects, object mapping, and ESB message transformations so that you can get to all the specific assets in a very efficient way. It supports the cross-referencing between common business objects, and the common business object would be a customer ID, an order ID, and the like, which may be stored in different systems, which may be stored in SAP, Siebel, Kix, and IMS, and you need process integration software to synchronize the information amongst these objects. Then we have event infrastructure for process monitoring, staff support and human tasks for workflow, and last but not least, selectors as a means to flexibly invoke service components, for example, based on scheduling rules. So very rich process integration capabilities, all implemented on a unified platform, now supported on COS natively. Proceeding to page 16, we also have integrated an enterprise service bus for range and reach. WebSphere Process Server is actually powered by WebSphere ESB, which provides for message routing, protocol conversion, message format transformation, and the handling of business events, all done with standards-based connectivity supporting web services and JMS. So we have rich process integration capabilities, we have the ESB integrated, and all of these built to a common infrastructure as an extension to WebSphere Application Server for COS, which provides for high qualities of service, clustering, failover, high availability, a single administration environment implemented on COS. We're extending that with a common event infrastructure for process monitoring. We're doing this in a service-oriented architecture, providing for a uniform representation of data as business objects, providing a uniform model to represent services as service components, wiring them together, and deploying them on a single runtime platform for composite applications, thereby reducing the complexity and also reducing administration costs for the overall solution. Leveraging a common platform actually facilitates the creation of composite applications, and it also lets you create a modular integrated software portfolio incrementally while maximizing reuse of skills throughout the software stack. Now, having talked briefly about service components, let's spend a word on the service component architecture on page 18 and 19. The service component architecture is actually the latest step in the evolution of SOA. It's been announced in November last year with support from BA, Oracle, SAP, and other strong vendors in the industries, and it has received a very, very strong support from Gartner, which are saying it's a winner in the quest to establish a common notation for SOA, and it has the potential to significantly aid mainstream organizations in the development, deployment, and management of services using a service-oriented architecture. What it is all about is the normalization of how you compose, invoke, and share data between service components. On page 19, we actually introduce the triangle of truth. We talk about the isolation of composition data and invocation. So no matter how your data are actually represented, whether in XML or in SQL or as an object or whatsoever, we have a common way of accessing all of them as a business object which is based on a service data object. No matter how you want to invoke your services, remote or local, with one transport or another transport, we have a standard means of doing invocation of service components. And last but not least, there may be multiple ways for how you compose your assets. And our standard way for composing all of these assets is the business process execution language, which we have applied to business objects and to service components, thereby normalizing integration complexity for business processes and integration developers. So now we have covered all of the runtime, at least on this high level. We've gone through the process server, the integrated ESB, the deployment on the application server for COS and the service components. All of these capabilities on the runtime side, of course, need great tooling. And the companion tool to WebSphere Process Server is the WebSphere Integration Developer. This is a graphical Eclipse-based tool for assembling composite applications, i.e. applications that support a business process and combine into the solution a set of integrated and related services. So this tooling comes, of course, with a graphical process editor. And on the side here, you see a simple credit example process, which gets triggered, for example, from an SAP system, could also be triggered from a website and a human being. You have a number of steps in there with decisions, with steps where you need access to service from a partner, where you may access a KIX transaction in the backend, where you may generate a decline, in this case again, from an existing service which you need to integrate. And you would specify all of this process integration logic in the integration developer and then deploy the composite application to the runtime. Having spoken about KIX as one of the backend systems, there are quite a range of capabilities to integrate KIX applications. And on page 21, we have summarized a few of them, of the key ones. First of all, there is direct integration for KIX services in the integration developer tooling with an enterprise service discovery wizard, which accepts COBOL or C5 defining the KIX.com area. And it uses the KIX transaction gateway to access the CICS functions. We then also have a parallel effort by the KIX team, where the KIX developer would extend the KIX transactions into a service interface, into a slightly coarser-grained service interface than the typical KIX transactions, and the integration developer would choreograph those KIX services into the business process. This is an approach available from KIX version 3.1 upwards, and it's an approach that requires some teamwork between the KIX developer and the integration developer. Then we have integration based on JMS and MQ with KIX transactions and a couple of mechanisms to actually integrate on screen interfaces, which is a typical way of integrating KIX transactions. Beyond KIX and also beyond IMS, we have a set of adapters, which are add-ons to process server and ESB. Adapters basically service-enable application assets. We have a very broad portfolio of adapters, probably the broadest in the industry. They are supported with WebSphere Process Server and ESP on all platforms, and there's a range of best practices available around them. On page 23, you see a reference to many of the adapters that we have. The latest list of adapters is always available on the website. This is at the top right corner. On page 24, you actually see a summary on the COS adapters, which are supported with the application server, with the process server, or ESP, accessing DB2, IMS, VSAM, sequential files, set files, a third-party software, KIX and IMS, SAP, Siebel, and the like. And you see the options that are supported, giving you quite a choice and tools to help integrate existing assets with new business processes. So some of the adapters are supported by the integration developer tooling. Many more are available as add-on solutions. Anyway, integrating applications is typically a key role for the developer, and it's important that the tooling is part of an integrated tooling framework. On page 25, we have outlined for you the different developer roles which are supported by the IBM tooling software, ranging from the business analyst to the integration developer to the software architect to the Java developer or the enterprise developer. So the business analyst is the one who's modeling business processes to optimize and re-engineer them, and you would do this in WebSphere Business Modeler, which also provides simulation and analysis. And then you hand the definitions over, still in the same framework, to the integration developer, which basically adds another perspective into the Eclipse workbench. And in the integration developer, you configure the integration logic, you wire together existing and new service components or interfaces for humans to create the composite application. On some of the steps, you may have involved the software architect for model-driven development and for handing over general UML definitions either to the integration developer or to the application or enterprise developer. And again, the software architect is a component in the overall framework. When you go to component developing, you either use the rational application developer for your Java code, or on C, you of course use the Vesta developer for C-series for all of your COBOL and PL1 and fourth generation language support. All of these actually play together, exchange service definitions via the Eclipse repository, and the integration developer can consume all of these definitions to facilitate the creation of composite applications for deployment to Vesta Process Server. Now, having spoken about Business Modeler, that is another very important companion tool, as you see on page 26. It actually plays in the model stage prior to the assembly stage. It supports the business analysts, and it allows you to graphically model processes, simulate and analyze them, gives you import from other tools such as Visio. And at the end, when you are happy with the design and with the as-is versus to be comparisons, and you want to automate and deploy the process, then you hand that definition over to the integration developer for refinement. But the business model is actually targeted at the business analyst. It works hand-in-hand also with the business monitor, which is another add-on or companion product, which gives you real-time business control and helps you create executive dashboards that can monitor process server on distributed as well as process server for CRS. Now, these are executive dashboards for managers or supervisors that look not so much at system health like the Tivoli products would, but they look at the healthiness of your business processes. They give you scorecards of key performance indicators. They help you track the cost, time, and resources involved in process execution, in the execution of operational business processes. They have a human workflow element in that they allow some intervention with the process, and you can trigger business events and notifications. And at the end of the day, of course, they support the continuous feedback into the modeler to further improve the processes that have been deployed and now use actuals from this system as input to the modeler for analysis and optimization. So for the runtime, we have Process Server and ESP built on the application server. As key add-ons for business process management, we have Business Modeler and Business Monitor. And as a further add-on, we have basically WebSphere XD for extended qualities of service. Now, this is supported transparently on top of the application server and underneath Process Server and ESP, and gives you flexibility for heterogeneous environments and enhances the overall manageability. The key thing around the various platforms, as outlined on page 29, is that you now have a wide range of choice of hardware platforms on which you can deploy and maybe even combine the various components from the reference architecture, depending on where it makes the most sense to you. It helps you run service components on the right fit platform. Process Server and ESP, as well as the other products in the reference architecture, are actually supported on a wide range of platforms, from X-Series with Windows and Linux to P-Series to System C infrastructure. And depending on where the components make the most sense of you, you can deploy them and you can support them with components on the same box or on the other box. Now, why actually do you want to deploy the software on System C? And what is the value of deploying it on System C? Of course, the mainframe has always been for you a strategic platform for mission-critical processes, core applications, and data. Now, you have many key transactions and data on the mainframe already. You could deploy processes on distributed and connect to the mainframe. That generates, of course, some network overhead. You may need multiple databases, and you cannot optimize the system as much as if you would leverage the proximity of deploying processes close to the core transactions and data that you need to integrate. If you do that, then you get fewer physical components There's network overhead. You can actually optimize the two-phase commit with the backend applications, leveraging the system managed resource recovery and transaction coordination, and leverage the highest possible qualities of service, which you also apply to the rest of your core transactions, leveraging security, leveraging the ultimate availability of your system C, enabling dynamic applications of software changes, leveraging workload management for mixed commercial workloads, and leveraging the hardware that gives you full utilization of system capacity with the same class of service. Actually, the mainframe is well known for best total cost of computing, as you certainly know. But the key point in the decision of where to deploy what is certainly proximity and the advantages that go along with proximity. So SOA is actually a key initiative to modernize your most valuable assets. The WebSphere software and process server and ESP in particular has actually been designed to extend and enrich the value of core KIX and IMS applications. We help you design and deploy composite business process applications while retaining the qualities of System C. So by co-locating the process with your KIX and IMS and DB2 applications, you can create composite mainframe applications that still have the same qualities of service as the individual transactions. And you can leverage, of course, key additional things that you want to achieve anyway, probably, like central enterprise database, central administration, apply the most stringent security that you have implemented on COS often, and apply that to your business process integration. Leverage the continuous availability of the hardware, apply that to the software, manage mixed commercial workloads, processes, integration logic, KIX and IMS transactions, and thereby leverage the proximity of integration processes with your core business transactions. So, kind of summarizing what we have discussed in this call, SOA is a key initiative in the industry today. It's uniquely implemented across all platforms. The mainframe has very powerful qualities that make it actually unchallenged as the heart of SOA. It's all about aligning business and IT. That has been a dream. Now, SOA, with its new IT capabilities, helps to make that a reality. You get new power to build new processes, exploit new channels, drive new business, leveraging existing assets. With these new capabilities also comes, of course, new responsibility. You want to be able to maintain full transactional control over your processes and the integration with the backend assets. You want to administer full business control and apply IT governance to service-oriented integration. And the mainframe is, of course, uniquely positioned to do this, especially extending the value of your existing assets with new processes on the mainframe, but also being able to integrate services provided on other platforms, of course. That concludes my presentation for today. I hope I have given you some first insight into the rich capabilities of Process Server and the good reasons to apply this on the mainframe to realize the benefits of a service-oriented architecture in your mainframe environment. Thank you very much. And now I hand it over to the moderator.
Thank you, Klaus. Now we would like to ask you to participate in a brief electronic survey. Your feedback is important to us, and we do appreciate the time you take to answer these questions. To participate, simply press the star key followed by the number that best corresponds to your choice. Please listen to all options before making your selection. Please evaluate your level of satisfaction with today's teleconference. If it was high, press star 1. If it was medium, press star 2. And if it was low, press star 3. And we'll pause for just a moment. Question 2. What was the level of technical information presented in this teleconference? If it was at the right level, press star 1. If it was not technical enough, press star 2. If it was more technical than you needed to hear, press star 3. And again, we'll pause. Question 3. Do you have an SOA project planned for the next 6 to 9 months? If yes, then it will involve mainframe legacy applications. Press star 1. If yes, but it will not involve mainframe legacy applications, press star 2. And if no, press star 3. And again, we'll pause. Question 4. Please indicate your general job category. If you're on the line of business side, press star 1. If you're an IT developer, architect, or manager, press star 2. If you're in another category, press star 3. We hope you have enjoyed the teleconference today. Please let us know if you are interested in receiving additional information or follow-up regarding the products to discuss today. If yes, press star 1. If no, press star 2. And that concludes our survey. Thank you for all of your questions. Excuse me, thank you all for your participation. Now let's move to your questions. To ask a question, please press the star key followed by the digit 1 on your telephone at any time. And at this time, I'll turn the conference over to Klaus while we wait for questions. Again, I'll turn the conference over to Klaus while we wait for questions.
Hi, this is Klaus Reinhardt. Are there any questions in the queue?
Once again, if you do have a question, please press star 1 now. And a final reminder, please press star 1 at this time to ask a question. It appears we have no further questions. I'll turn the conference back over to Klaus for additional or closing remarks. Mr. Deinhardt, do you have closing comments?
Thank you, everybody, for listening to today's call. For further information, approach our website and come back to us with the project. Looking forward to talk to you. Bye now.
That does conclude today's conference. We thank you for your participation. Have a great day.